Hello and welcome to season four, episode seven of the Emotional Autoimmunity Podcast. I am your host, Kerry Jeffrey. I am a coach, therapist, and a clinical hypnotherapist living here in Melbourne, Australia. And I know exactly what all of the often complex emotional issues that chronic illness brings because I live with four chronic autoimmune conditions myself, and I've been doing this now for 10 years. And while I was a therapist and all of these other things before I got chronic illness, when I became chronically ill, I realized that the tools and the skills and the knowledge that I had so far were not the ones that were going to help me to deal with this new, very uncertain, very anxious stage of my life with all of the things that were going on and all of the issues that I was dealing with, and including at that time when I was first diagnosed, I was physically and cognitively disabled. I was no longer able to work. I was barely able to function or care for myself, and I didn't know at that stage if any improvement or recovery at all would be possible for me. So, as you can imagine, I was feeling a lot of fear and anxiety at that moment. And so, what we're going to focus on today in this podcast is dealing with anxiety and especially the what if thoughts. And the reason why these are such a big issue goes back basically to the way that our brains work and that we are designed. Because as human beings, we're basically just another animal on this planet. And all animals on this planet, their biggest priority is to stay alive. And so we are constantly scanning, consciously or unconsciously, our environment all the time, looking for the potential threats that could harm us or have us experience one of our biggest fears as human beings, which is rejection. Because in that primitive part of the brain, in the reticular formation, that rejection is equated with death. And a really interesting bit of research that I read quite a while back was that in studies they showed that a person's fear, like so the fear response to experiencing being rejected and the fear response to being physically threatened was almost identical. And I think from my perspective, this goes back to the very ancient days when we were very dependent on our tribes and our communities for safety, security, food, shelter, all of those things. And to be rejected from the tribe, so to be outcast from the tribe was essentially a death sentence because it would be very difficult to survive alone. And in fact, that rejection is still a very common threat, because it is a threat that is used to keep people in line, often in different types of religious communities, so that if you no longer believe the way that the other people do, then you will be actively shunned. Which can often mean that your whole family will reject you and treat you as if you are dead to them and that you no longer exist. So it's a very powerful primal fear that we have about being rejected because it is such a big threat and it can lead to so many things that we don't want to experience. So in normal waking life, right? We are always going to be dealing with some level of anxiety and fear as our brains are perceiving the threats that are constantly, being shown to come at us. And our biggest threat is obviously other people. So this is why you will find yourself constantly trying to work out what people are going to do and think in relationship to you. So what they're going to say, whether they're going to believe you or not, whether there's going to be any conflict, whether they're going to approve of you, like you, all of those things. And so we're constantly running these scenarios in our heads that go something like, well, if I say that, then they'll say that, and then they might get angry with me, and then basically they won't like me anymore, they won't love me anymore, they will reject me, I won't get their approval. And that fear of approval is why things like people pleasing behavior and that kind of relationship management creates so much anxiety in us, because it is a lot of pressure to be constantly trying to anticipate and predict what other people think of us or how other people are going to react to us in response to what we're doing. Because we're constantly taking in our environment and we're trying to interpret it and make sense of it in a way that's going to keep us safe. And that's normal life, right? All relationships, no matter how good they are, all have conflict. Conflict is part of our normal life. Fear is part of our normal life. So as human beings, the way that I see it is the biggest challenge that we all have is to deal with all of this stuff in our head, right? All of these fear-based stories about all of the awful things that could happen to us, whether it's coming from another person, whether it's coming from a specific situation, whether it's coming from something that's beyond our control in the natural world or in organizations or social structures that we don't have a lot of power over, whether it's coming from our bodies and our illness, right? There is so many perceived threats available out there. And so the what if thoughts are the things that are going to keep you awake at night, cause a lot of anxiety, cause you to lose sleep. And most of all, what they're going to do, they're going to create a lot of stress. And as we all know, that with any illness, stress is one of the most significant things that has a negative impact on any sort of illness, because stress creates inflammation in the body and inflammation worsens any disease that we have. And if, like me, you are living with a chronic autoimmune disease, then that actually ramps up all the stress responses in the body. It can activate our immune systems even more, and that can lead to a whole lot of more significant or impactful symptoms, or even create an autoimmune flare that can often kind of take you out of the picture for a while, depending on how bad it is. And so the basis of these what if thoughts is again the way that our mind works, because when our brain perceives a threat, and there are many of them, it will just crunch through without any emotion. It will crunch through every single situation that could occur as a result of that threat, and it will always go to the worst case scenario. And why this is so difficult is that our subconscious minds literally believe everything we think is real. And so our subconscious minds trigger all of the emotional and so the chemical reactions that create emotions in our bodies. So they will trigger, the cortisol, all of the stress hormones in the body. And if you want to know how clearly that you can prove for yourself this is true, think back to the last time you were really worried about something. So most of the things we worry about don't actually end up happening. But when you're stuck in that worry story, it's like you're in your own private, compelling screening of a movie that you're living in, and you are responding to it as if it is actually real, which is why you can get yourself so worked up. You can get yourself so anxious. You can be sitting there crying and experiencing grief, like real physical grief that you will feel in your body, in the pit of your stomach, throughout all of your senses, right? You will sit there as if you're living it, experiencing as if it's real. And the fact that it doesn't happen doesn't automatically stop you from continuing those worry stories. This is just the way that our brain works. And so when it comes to chronic illness, we've got a new level of anxieties and fears that people who don't have chronic illness don't need to deal with at all, and in fact wouldn't really consider to be something that they would worry about. Because I know myself, the first time I gave a lot of thought to chronic illness and what it was and how it affected you and what it would feel like was when it actually happened to me. So we don't spend a lot of time thinking about things that we don't really feel or think could potentially affect us, because there's so many things that are going on, like in our lives now, that give our minds things to worry about. And when it comes to having chronic illness, what happens is you lose a lot of trust and faith in a whole lot of things. So, for example, you can lose faith and trust in your body, and that your body is now behaving in a way that creates a lot of pain or disability for you. It feels like something that is doing this to you. It feels like something that is creating this for you. And so you lose that trust in your body and your bodily integrity. And once that trust has been broken, then it can often be a challenging process to rebuild that basic trust in your body, because you're no longer focused that much on the external potential threats around you. When you're living with an unpredictable disease that creates unpredictable and often painful things in your body, then you have internal threat. Your own body feels like a very unsafe place to be. And that creates a lot of anxiety. And it also creates a lot of what if thoughts that are going to keep you awake at night. We can often feel completely let down or abandoned by the systems that we believed would be there to support us and help us. So these can be things like when we first became ill, we were going to the doctor with the belief that they would listen to us, they would help us, and they would be able to give us real solutions and answers, and a diagnosis and an explanation and help and support for the things that we've been experiencing. And it can be so devastating to meet, have that first appointment where you're told, well, there's nothing that you can do. Or if you're told, well, there's nothing showing up in your test results, so it must be anxiety, it must be, there's another explanation for it, whether that's, it's a natural part of aging, or whether you're a busy mother, or whether you need to manage your stress. It's really difficult to find that the support that you believed all of that time would be there for you isn't there for you. So what happens is that you see all of the cracks in the system. Whether it's financial support, whether it's family support, whether it's medical support, whether it's religious or spiritual support, you can end up feeling abandoned or unheard or unsupported or disbelieved by all of the systems and structures that you thought before would be there for you. And that creates a lot of anxiety because it changes your relationships with those systems. It changes your relationships with those relationships. It changes those relationships with the supports and the communities that you had around you. And you can also become very anxious about not being believed, about being judged, or even being blamed for the illness and the symptoms that you're experiencing, about being told things like, well, it can't be that bad, or at least you don't have cancer, or maybe you're not trying hard enough, or maybe you're not thinking positive enough. You just need to think more positive. And then one of the biggest things that creates a lot of anxiety is the anxiety of getting worse, physically worse, experiencing a major flare where you can't work or you can't function or you can't care for yourself or the people that you need to care for. It can come with an anxiety of hospitalization or experiencing more disability, or having more pain, or getting a new diagnosis on top of the ones that you've already got. So much of the anxiety, and especially the what if stories and thoughts that we're having all the time, are basically about imagining situations that we don't want to happen, that would be devastating, or would feel like they were ruining our lives, or would feel like experiencing more suffering and more health issues and less ability to be present and still be able to enjoy your life, still be able to, maybe in a modified way, still pursue your dreams and goals, still be able to be independent, still be able to have a sense of purpose. So I hope you can see from that even normal everyday life deal creates a lot of anxiety, like constant anxiety, constant stress that we as human beings need to be able to learn to deal with and manage, because fear is a normal part of life, right? Fear is there to keep us alive. And so what we need to do as human beings is be able to find a way to face our fears, to do that uncomfortable stretch as we keep learning and growing and needing to set boundaries and needing to assert ourselves and needing to advocate for ourselves and to risk trying things, whether it's risk a new relationship, risk going to a new doctor, risk doing something different that you've never done before. The fear is always going to be there. But if we have tools and we have skills and we have a way to manage that fear and keep it in perspective without letting it keep us stuck in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, then fear is something that can be manageable. And I hope you can also see that living with chronic illness brings along a whole new hellish levels of fears that you didn't have before chronic illness came into your life. And I'm going to get on to in a moment how we deal with the anxiety and especially how we deal with those what if thoughts. But before we do that, I am going to have a word from our sponsor. And I am my sponsor, right? So I don't, at the moment, I don't make any money from this podcast. I'm doing it because it's something that I want to do. And so I'm going to let you know about more about me, what I can do and how I can help you. And what I'm going to do now, I'm going to read out one of the testimonials, and you can find this one on the website. But it's just going to make you start to understand about how the skills and the emotional frameworks and all of the new tools can actually help people like you living with chronic illness. So this is from one of my lovely clients, Marlies, and she says, "I realized I wasn't my normal self. I felt insecure, small, and the fear of when a flare would come back and how I would have to deal with it was hanging as a heavy dark cloud above my head. I was feeling very lonely after the experience and realization that no one, not even my ex-partner, understood my illness. Since I grew up with the disease, I assumed family members understood it all very well, and I came to realize after 21 years they never will. When I saw and read the website and I read the ebook, I found much recognition. While reading, I also felt an honest and sincere empathy, which I realized I needed from someone who knows how it is to live with chronic illness. Before the first session, I felt somewhat nervous, though beforehand, I told myself to let it go and just listen, since I normally like to control things, and that helped. Since I obviously don't have much experience with therapy, it was slightly uncomfortable that it was all about me since the first minute. It is very logical in a way, but also seemed a bit against the nature of my conversations, probably because I don't normally have therapeutic conversations with someone. I felt already a lot calmer after the first session, maybe also because I realized I didn't have to give all my energy in explaining it all to someone who understands what a burden chronic illness can be. The information and spot-on explanation about how my mind works made me very curious about what was coming in the next sessions. My confidence in myself slowly came back during the sessions. The biggest change is that I feel as if I came back to being my old normal self. I am relaxed, much more confident, worry less, and care much less about what others think. I think more positive and get less affected by other people's negative talk. I can dance in the rain again. I came to realize over the sessions that there were quite a few issues to cover. I am very happy you've helped me all this much. The comfort of talking to someone who knows, who understands, was a completely new experience for me, which helped me a lot. The amount of weight that could get off my shoulders, I did not expect. At the stage where I was before the sessions, I think I was searching for understanding and recognition from people close to me. I wasn't getting the type of understanding or recognition I was looking for. I now understand why. I got from you an active listening ear, empathy, explanation, and direct action, which I really liked. I worked with a therapist once before, in which I vaguely remember I had to look in the weeks ahead for how things would develop over time. And the most important things he said were only in the 5 minutes of the whole hour. With your direct action and explanation as to why you do what you do in the session, I can reflect after the session. I started to write things down right after, and automatically I thought about all this the days after the session, even if I wanted to or not. I could note myself I was thinking about things we talked about or what it did to me almost every day until the session came along. And the whole hour, you said important things and things that just made sense and were very interesting to listen to. It was not just 5 minutes of valuable information. Sometimes I wish I could listen back to it. Thank you, Kerry. Marlies." So that's a direct example of the kind of changes that are possible. And in my online therapy programs, anxiety, dealing with these what-if thoughts, is one of the biggest things that we work on And one of the most important things that you need to have these new skills, because as I've said, now you are going to be facing whole new levels of fears and anxieties that you didn't have before you had chronic illness, even with the issue that your body can now feel like a really unsafe place to be in. So the whole thing about dealing with what if thoughts, and going back to the example that I gave you about how powerful worry-based stories are. And if you don't want to go to that, one of the things that you can see as to how our subconscious mind and our conscious mind work together is to take notice next time you're watching a television program or a movie or reading a book that you really love. Because during that process, your subconscious mind actually believes those people, those events are really going on, and it allows you to form a relationship with those people, to experience those events. And that's why we have favorite books and favorite characters, and we form an emotional connection so that when something happens to one of those characters, then we can cry and feel a real sense of a loss in that. Or we can sit there and experience, joy or fear, or have a startle reaction, get totally caught up in the moment of that movie. And it can you can often notice, as especially if you're in a movie theater, when the movie ends and the lights kind of come up, it can almost you can almost feel yourself coming out of like a trance-like state. You've got to come back to the reality that of where you are and process the emotions that happened during that experience, because they all feel so very real. So when you're dealing with those what if thoughts, and it's normally at night that it's worse because there's no distractions, there's nothing else that you're supposed to be doing, and what you're supposed to be doing is sleeping, and your mind just starts that automatic process of what if. So what if I get worse? What if I never get better? What if this new doctor doesn't believe me? And it will go all the way down to that worst case scenario, and you will feel the stress chemicals that have been created in your body. You will feel it in your gut. You will feel it in the tension. You will feel it in the beat of your heart. You will feel it in your pulse rate. You will feel it by things like increased tension in the body or pain. It feels very real, even though the reality is your conscious mind is just playing through a thought experiment of something that you don't want to happen, with the mistaken belief that by doing that, it's going to allow you to deal with it better if it actually happens, or to somehow be prepared for it. And the whole thing about this mistaken belief that we need to actively prepare for the worst, because then when it happens, it won't be as bad, is simply not logical, and there's nothing helpful in us, in it to us. Because what it actually means is if that worst case scenario happens, it's going to happen that one time. Right, it's going to be something that we don't want to happen, but it's going to happen that one time when we experience the reality of it in real life. But in our mind, through our what if stories and our worry, we can experience and live that event over and over and over again with the same sort of intensity. That's why these what if stories, these worry stories, keep you awake. So, how can you help yourself deal with these anxieties and deal with the what if thoughts? The first thing I want to remind you about even without knowing who you are or what your life has been like. But what I can tell you with certainty, because you're here listening to me, is that you have successfully survived every single challenge in your life so far. So think about that for a moment. It might not have been maybe the ideal way that you wanted it to happen, and you might believe that you could have done it differently or you should have done it differently. But the reality is, your success rate at getting through every single event and challenge in your life so far is 100%. That's pretty good, isn't it? You've got through it, which clearly means that you are a resourceful person who is able to eventually find solutions, is able to get through and survive the situation. So, with all of that evidence of success behind you, then why would that not continue? I really do believe that we will find a way to deal with whatever situation we're in eventually. And again, maybe not in the way that we think would be best, or maybe not in the best way that we believe we could have done it differently. But that's the basics of survival, right? Life is going to keep throwing challenges at us every single day, whether they're big or small, and it's up to us to come with up with solutions to help us manage all of the challenges of life. So I just want you to ground yourself in that very real fact, right? So far, your success rate at getting through everything that's been thrown at you so far is 100%. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you like or appreciate or enjoy where you are now. And that's the other thing about chronic illness, right? To understand that this is not your fault. You did not create this. You do not deserve this. It's not that you're not trying hard enough. It's not that you don't have the right amount of positive thinking. The reality is that health is not guaranteed to any single person at all. It's not something that we can promise anyone. And there is no moral quality to it. It's not about whether you're a good or a bad person. The fact is that illness, accident, disability can and do happen to anyone at any time. And at some stage of our lives, even without chronic illness, the reality is that unless we're in really good health and then, we're struck by lightning and we die, we are going to experience illness and disability as a natural result of aging. We are at some point in our lives going to need help and support to manage how we live and to try to get the best quality of life that we can. So, you didn't create this. You're not doing it to yourself. It's not your fault. It's a random, horrible thing, and it happens to millions, trillions of people all around the planet, and it is not your fault. Okay. So, they're two really important things to know. And then the best tool that I can give you to deal with those what if thoughts is to question them. So say we've got a what if thought like, well, what if I get worse? What if I continue to get worse and get more pain and become more disabled, right? And that'll go on and on and on down to the worst case scenario. Okay, so if that happened, what would you do? And this is where you can actually make a plan, right? So if this horrible thing that you don't want to happen, that you would love to have some guarantee or create some safety, didn't happen, how could you stop that from happening? What would you do if the worst case scenario happens? And that can be worthwhile thinking about. So I'll use an example from my own life, right? As I said before, when I was first became chronically ill, I was physically and cognitively disabled. I was not able to work. I was barely able to care for myself and be functional. And so the scariest what if story was, what if I never get better? What if I can never work again? What if this is it for the rest of my life? I needed to have a plan to deal with that because at that stage, I honestly didn't know. So my worst case scenario plan that I came up with was that my two children that were both living with me at that time would need to move out. So the eldest would need to move out on his own. The youngest would need to move out and live with his father. I would have to put all of my things in the rental property into storage and go and live with my elderly father and see if I could claim some form of disability. That was my worst case scenario plan. So once I had the plan, I didn't need to put any more energy into it because it was there. It was the stop gate plan, kind of like making your will. And a lot of people put off making their will because they've got this kind of, superstitious fear that the minute they put it down, then they'll be struck and they'll be dead, right? It kind of feels like signing their own death warrant with that. We have all of these illogical fears around so many things. So if the worst case situation happened, well, what would you do? And you'll find that you will find a stopgate solution, whether it's similar to what I did, right? You would have to have someone to depend on, or whether you would need to apply for disability, or whether you would need to find a new place to live, or whether you would need to find a new form of employment, or whether you would need to explore other options. So you can think about that. And then the other biggest thing that we have is the what if fear of, well, I'm never going to get better. Nothing's ever going to get worse, better for me. Nothing's ever going to help me. There's nobody that can help me. Even things like working with Kerry, like it might have helped other people, but I'm going to be the one exception to that. It's not going to help me. With those kinds of what if stories, what you're going to ask yourself is, well, is that true? Do I absolutely 100% know without question I will never get better than I am right now? Generally, with those kind of questions, with those kind of fears, well, you don't know that that's true. You don't know because a whole lot of things could happen in the interim between you and the rest of your life. Maybe there'll be a cure will be discovered. Maybe you'll come across a solution. Maybe things will change. Things will get better. Maybe you'll wake up one day and start to feel better, right? There are a million different things that you don't know that could happen. So those two things are going to help you deal with those thoughts. So, with the what if thought of the worst case scenario, then take some time during the day and sit down and brainstorm what could you actually do if that worst case scenario happened. You will come up with something, I promise you. You will come up with some sort of plan. And once you know what your worst case scenario plan is going to be, like your will, once it's done, you can stick it away in a drawer somewhere if until it's needed. Right. And then the second one, which is those black and whites, like never, always. I will always be like this. I will never get better. Then you ask the is that true question. How do I know that is true? How do I know absolutely under all conditions all possibilities, is it true that I can say without question, I will never get better, or I will always be that way? And you're not going to be able to come up with, yes, I know it's true, because you can fear that it's true, you can believe that it's true, but you can't know that it's true. You just can't. There is nobody that can guarantee you with absolute 100% certainty that absolutely nothing is going to change and you have no hope or possibility of anything changing. So, take those couple of tools and skills that I've given you. Have a think about what I've said. You might need to listen to this or rewind to when I started talking about this new framework, right? These new tools, this new mindset, a few times, because fear is something that we are all going to live with. But what I can tell you, if you start actually using these tools and implementing these tools, it is going to help you have a lot less anxiety. Because when it comes to these what if thoughts, basically what you are doing is you are playing a personal horror story in your own mind of something that you don't want to experience or you don't want to happen, and your subconscious mind believes that it's real and it's happening right now, and it will then generate all of the chemicals that create the emotional responses and the physical responses in your body to that being real. Exactly the way that you feel genuine emotional and physical responses to the movie or the story that you're reading right now. I really hope this has been useful to you. And remember, if you think that I could potentially help you, then please book in your free online discovery session with me. I work with clients all over the world. Most of them are in the USA. And I think a reason for that is because I charge in Australian dollars. I mean, not only that I'm good, right? I am good at what I do. It's that I charge in Australian dollars. And so it's often a pretty good discount for people in the USA to work with me than it would be paying in US dollars in their own country. And that also applies to other countries like the UK or other countries where your dollar is stronger than the Australian dollars. And if you want to know exactly what my fees are, if you want to know exactly what my programs are all about, if you want to read some more of the testimonials on my website, if you want to sign up and join my email list and get your free copy of my ebook, Moving Through the Grief of Chronic Illness and Stay Connected to Me, then you can do that all at my website, emotionalautoimmunity.com. And you can book in for your free online discovery session with me now. There is a link in this podcast for you to do that. I would love to meet you. And I will be back with you in another fortnight with another new podcast. Bye for now.